Good morning, Representative. Welcome. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderfully, Tony.
All right. Congratulations, first of all, on your victory from Tuesday night. What are your what's your reaction and thoughts over the last couple of days?
You know, I was ecstatic. Personally, this was my biggest margin of victory since I first got elected. So I started with a 5% margin. The second race was a 10% margin. This is somewhere around 16 or 17% margin. So I don't take that with the source of ego and pride and head, you know, fist thumping or screaming. I take it as I'm grateful for the trust the residents of Greenwich have put in me. And so I'm thrilled and ecstatic. And I guess the problem is now I have to do even a better job to continue to gain their confidence and trust. So I'll have to work even harder, which is a daunting task, but I will.
All right, so your victory comes on a night historic in nature for the town of Greenwich, with Democrats winning all the House seats. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think I said it best at the Old Greenwich Social Club and our night out. So Hector gets into the Old Greenwich Social Club. I've been there from early on. Hector gets in a little past me, and the crowd erupts in cheers just for his arrival. And we still don't have outcomes or anything. And then I have to say, Hector gets elected, and someone leans over at me and says, you realize he's the first Democrat ever in that seat. And so then I went over and complained to him. I said, you've taken my thunder. I had been the first Democrat since 1912, and lo and behold, Hector has beaten my pants off because he's the first Democrat ever. And Rachel as well, I do believe, and I asked them to check. We didn't have the data as of yet. I think she may be the first Democrat in that seat as well. So I was thrilled and ecstatic. Obviously, now we've got the House delegation is entirely Democratic, which is a switch, a complete switch since I first got elected. And now we've got to do the work of representing everyone. And that's, I want to emphasize that, and everyone needs to hear that. We are not the Democratic representatives of Greenwich. We are Democrats, but we represent the residents of Greenwich. And I make that pledge on behalf of the delegation. We will represent everyone fully and to the best of our extent. We care deeply about the town. The sacrifices everyone makes in running, you know, from June through the date of the election, your life is surrendered into a campaign. That's a level of our commitment, and you can expect that going forward.
To what do you attribute the successes of Tuesday?
I think the messaging from our delegation was one of moderation. It was one of inclusion. It was one of concern for the citizenry in a level-headed and rational conversation. We went door to door. We spoke quietly and confidently to people about what we wanted to accomplish. We were all united on our concerns that we remain, you know, with local control of our housing issues. We were united in our issues that we thought we didn't have a taxation problem, in that we weren't going to look to raise taxes on the Connecticut residents, and certainly on the residents of Greenwich, that we feel we are more than sufficiently taxed at this point. And we welcome the message from the governor, who came out and made that same commitment to no new taxes that he for Connecticut. So I think those messages resonated. I think our messages of support for our public education system resonate, because I think our public education is a gateway for all of us to succeed in this country. And it was a sober message. It was a message of we care deeply about our community, and we're committed to it.
There'll be a number of legislative breakfasts and so forth where you get to lay out some of the priorities. What are your priorities for your upcoming term then?
Well, one of my priorities is further, if you will, it's funny because it'll sound partisan, but it's not, further regulation of the utility industry. And what do I mean by that? It's a monopoly. And I've said this three or four times. I'm sure the people at Eversource will cringe, but I'm paying Cadillac prices for a Yugo. It's as simple as that. And while we're going to see a rise in prices, and that will give rise to some resentment, and people will ask me what I've been doing for the last 4 years on energy and technology, the fact of the matter is we have an entrenched business model that is overbuilding or building the wrong capital infrastructure at Eversource. So the grid is not either reliable enough or cheap enough. So I have to figure out, one, how we can improve the cost of distribution, the cost of maintaining the system, getting a better system in place. and getting us off the top of the list in terms of energy costs. So that's my probably number one priority on that macro scale, right? On the micro scale, it's making sure that we get some resources allocated to Greenwich and acknowledgement. I was able to deliver some money back to the town in from some of the bonding programs for our nonprofits. That will be a focus for our delegation to make sure that we get what should I say, a little love out of Hartford in terms of the bonding programs, right? Thirdly, obviously, to make sure that our education system is well-founded, well-protected, to keep politics out of our educational system. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's accusations, but there's more transparency than meets the eye. The curriculum is well-vetted. And I think there needs to be a resounding support for public education. I think we're raising doubts about the system that shouldn't be there. The teachers that I know are not Marxists and Bolsheviks looking to undermine the country. They are the most hardworking, God-fearing, graceful people for the most part. And I want to see better support for public education. So those are going to be kind of part of my goal. The other is economic. And that's to make sure that the state becomes more and more attractive. And that's a combination of that tax issue and a combination of further inroads, God willing, in the down payment or prepayment of our pension obligations so that we continue to followed, upgraded, remarked by the credit agencies to show the Connecticut comeback is real. And then hopefully I'm lobbying for some committees and I want to make that public because I'm in the middle of banging heads to try to get the committee assignments I want. I'm lobbying so that I can be one of those ambassadors for commerce for the state to bring new companies into the state. That I want the message that Connecticut is open for business through this governor to resound even more strongly.
All right, and I understand you're going to take care of our internet problems here at the radio station, and you chastise me for not calling you first.
I'm going to criticize you, Tony. You were the last person to call. Everyone else on God's earth has called me about their cable and their internet. As I've sat on energy and technology and will at least until January, that means I have regulatory oversight. So if I've been called about dual telephone poles, cables dangling from wires, Tony, I've had 1,000 calls. And you're the only one who never called. You only call me to speak on your radio. So now you can put a target on my back for your internet. I promise.
Well, they're supposed to fix it today, and if they don't get the job done, you'll get that call Monday.
And don't worry, I've got the number of the guy who has to try to lobby me up in Hartford, and he's going to be miserable if you're not happy.
All right. There's the first thing that your constituent will hold you to is here the radio station. We're in your district. All right. Representative Meskers, thanks very much for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care, Timmy.